The reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
I thought today I'd just ask, what is the real message of Christmas? Because we sometimes have a little debate, don't we, in society as to whether it's all about the food and the eats and the presents and the buying and everything, or whether there's something deeper. So I don't know, maybe there was something in the reading there that you thought, actually, that's the phrase that sums it up for me. Or maybe there's some other little sort of truth or insight that for you is the meaning of Christmas. Maybe you've been thinking about that over the past few weeks, I don't know. So what would you say is the meaning of Christmas for you? Was there something in the reading, or is there something else? I thought I'd... Say again?
Something in the paper.
Something in the paper, right. Anything particular? Newspaper, right, okay. Thank you, right. Christmas in the newspaper. Very good. Lovely. Okay. Anything else that...
Hope and forgiveness.
Hope and forgiveness. Thank you, Phil. Yes. Because sometimes our world doesn't seem to be much hope, does there, going on? Yeah. And I like those two things, hope and forgiveness. Because, of course, that's why Jesus came, isn't it? That's why they gave him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus, Yahshua, means God saves. He'll forgive us. Lovely. Jenny.
Welcoming refugees, Mary and Joseph and the baby Egypt fleeing to Egypt.
Thank you. I don't know if you heard that. Welcoming refugees, she said, because Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus had to flee to Egypt to escape evil King Herod. That's right. So they were refugees. So they knew what it was like to be homeless and to have to flee. Yes. So actually what we've seen in recent years is part of the Christmas story as well, isn't it? Refugees, migrants. Yeah. Any other thoughts?
Bringing families together.
Thank you, Yvonne. Yes. Because that happens at Christmas time, doesn't it? People that perhaps we haven't seen for the rest of the year, and suddenly we're thrown together in the same household. And of course, in a way, even the first Christmas story, people came together, didn't they? Whether it was the shepherds, the angels,
the wise men, or possibly even some of Joseph's friends and relatives might have been in that same town at the same time, because it was his family town, wasn't it? His home, yeah. So family coming together. And of course, with Joseph and Mary and Jesus, the story is about a family, isn't it? So yeah, family ties at Christmas time. Lovely, thank you. One of the things that I particularly noticed was the shepherds themselves. This amazing thing happened, the angels in the sky, a multitude of angels, a whole crowd of them. And when the shepherds, when the angels leave, what do the shepherds say? They say, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about. As if they've just sort of had a message on the answer phone or just received a card or something. Yeah, the Lord's told us, yeah. As if it was some sort of ordinary happening. I love that they just accepted that God had spoken to them. And then a little bit later, when they've gone and seen the baby, then what did they do? They went and spread the word and told everybody, which probably wouldn't have been very easy because shepherds were at the bottom of the pile in society. So they might have been rather outcasts, actually. But nevertheless, they told everybody what the Lord had told them, and it was true, and they'd just seen it.
Blood.
Yeah. Sorry, but blood was... Right.
Oh, did you see the floods?
The floods, right. In the paper, this was. Yeah, there have been a lot, haven't there, recently. Any other sort of meanings of Christmas that occur to folk?
I see it as an antidote to all the shenanigans that have been going on leading up to the general election.
You're thinking of politics, are you? Yes.
Yeah.
We've had enough, haven't we? We've had enough. And our newspapers and our news has been full of all of that. So I agree with you. It's rather nice. It's an antidote, isn't it? It's to turn to a different subject and to listen to the Queen this afternoon. Don't tell Jeremy Corbyn, it's the afternoon, isn't it, when the Queen speaks.
He's watched it already.
I know. Or indeed the Archbishop or anybody else that you listen to. Everybody has a Christmas message, don't they?
And the picture that you put on screen, which I can see on the little screen.
Thank you. What about the picture then?
The shadow of the cross, yeah, on the manger.
Yeah. The shadow of the cross on the manger. And why do you think that's important, Jane?
Just reminding us what the purpose of the baby coming. He was born to die on
the
cross.
In a way, when Phil said forgiveness, that's what it's about, actually, isn't it?
Christmas and Easter.
Yeah, because this baby is not just a nice little baby, but he's God's gift to the world. And he will die, the shadow of the cross in the future, that he will die on the cross to save us from our sins. Thank you. That's a wonderful little collection of Christmas messages, isn't it? The deeper meaning of Christmas. And our reading finishes, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. I think she was aware, too, of what this birth would really mean for her and for her family in the future and indeed for the world. So let's just pray and pray that in as we thank God for the greatest gift of all. Lord, thank you for the message of Christmas. As we've said, in some ways, an antidote to everything that's happening in the world. We bless you that you've come to be born as one of us and to be the saviour of all the world. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.